Do you have
a
rule against taking notes on laptops?
Not at all. I do have a preference that people have a Shulchan Aruch and Gemara in front of them when during Shir, but you can do that at the same time.
Not today, but
Okay. So last time we discussed the position of Mil Tzedakah, that there's a chisaron in Hesach Hadas during Shemini Nekiyim, that a person is Masich HaDaita from the Shemini Nekiyim, let's say, for at least a 24-hour period. For more than a 24-hour period, then that would be a problem, and either, like the Beis Yitzchak or Meir Arik, those dates don't count, or according to some, maybe you have to restart the count again. Just one more markup of note on this topic. There's a Shuvah of Sternbach, Shuvah Sanhagos Krach Aleph Simon Tuf Kov Zion, Volume 1, Simon Tuf Kov Zion. Addressing the question of a woman who's in a fight with her husband and decides in her mind that she's not going to go to the mikvah, so she stops counting her Shemini Nekiyim, which is never something advisable to use as a weapon in a marriage, but that was a Shiloh. And now they make up and she wants to resume her Shemini Nekiyim, but she was Masich HaDaita for a couple days. That sounds like a problem of the Me'il Tzedakah. So Rav Sternbach writes, first of all, he notes that the minhag of many poskim Yerushalayim is to assume, like Rav Meir Arik, that as long as there's no Hesach Hadas for a full 24-hour period, you're okay. Fine. And then he says, even if she was Masich HaDaita for a full 24 hours, you have to analyze on a case-by-case basis what exactly is the nature of that Hesach Hadas. And he writes that in most situations, even if a woman says that she's going to stop counting her Shemini Nekiyim and not go to the mikvah, by the back of her mind, there's a hope that she'll be able to make up with her husband. And that's not really a full Hesach Hadas, because she thinks that maybe there's a way out of the situation. So in a case like that, he says, it's not necessarily called a full Hesach Hadas. And anyway, since the Mil Tzedakah is a Chiddush, and some argue on him, where there's a Safek, there's no need to be Machmir. Okay, so that's just something to keep in mind, that even where there is a Hesach Hadas, you have to evaluate the nature of that Hesach Hadas. Maybe what appears to be a Hesach Hadas is not, in fact, a complete Hesach Hadas. Okay. There are a couple of Gemaras in the first parak, and Daf Yubeza Med Aleph, and Daf Hey Med Aleph, that discuss Bedikos in the context of Taharos, in the context of the Mishnah, in the Sefta, in the context of ascertaining whether a woman is Tahora, and that the Taharos that she came in contact with retroactively did not become Tame. The Gemara Daf Yubeza distinguishes between, in that context, a Bedika and a Kinuach. Kinuach is a wiping, a bedika is a more aggressive form of checking that there's no dam. Rashi there explains in Daf Yubeza and Aleph that bedika means chorin ustakim, that the bedika is done by examining and touching the crevices internally in a woman. So there's a machlokas rishonim, what situations require this higher level bedika, this bedika's chorin ustakim. The Ravid, Shara Svira, the beginning of Simon Gimel. Shara Svira, the beginning of Simon Gimel. The Ravid outlines that there are three categories of bedikos. He says, category number one is a kinuach, a wiping. That's the lowest grade kind of a bedika. And that's what's required in the Gemara in the beginning of Perek Haroa Kesem situation. The Mishnah describes the three women who are sleeping in the same bed, and one of them finds dam. So if she does the bedika within a short amount of time after finding the kesem, within a sheer vest after finding the kesem, and she sees that she is Temeya, then that makes the other woman Tahoros, because he had the right to assume that the dam that was found came from this woman who just did a bedika in sheer vest and found herself to be Temeya, and the other women are presumed to be Tahoros. So that bedika, you don't need a full bedika. It's sufficient to have a kinuach, a wiping, where you find dam. Yeah.
We said this lashon of korin is stuck in the bed also by bedikas chametz.
By bedikas chametz.
We use a similar lashon, an intensive type of searching.
colloquialization, though, no?
I'm sorry?
It's probably just a colloquialization, though, no?
I'm trying to remember. Do you have Chor and Ustak in there? You have Chor, I don't remember you have Stakin.
I'll look it up later.
You check. Okay. So I guess the Ravid says, number one, the simplest, lowest level is a kinuach, and that you have in the context of the three women in the bed, where one of them finds Dom, or you find Dom in the blanket, and a kinuach is sufficient to attribute that Dom to one of the women. Okay. Then, the second category is bedikas beis achitza, a internal examination, an internal bedika, up to makom shashamish dash, but that's not, it doesn't go as far in as bedikas chorin v'stakin. So that regular bedika, the Ravid says, that's the bedika that you need for anida, for azava, for hefsek tara, for shivanakiyam. So all those situations, need azava, hefsek tara, shivanakiyam, all you need is a bedika, an internal bedika, but it doesn't have to be a bedika of schar and ustakin. And then the Ravid's third category is schar and ustakin, and that's only necessary for Taurus. That's the context of Gemara and Dafe, Dafi Beis. The Gemara only brings it up in the context of Taurus, not Levaila. So that's all the only time that you need schar and ustakin. Therefore, nowadays, where we're not concerned about Tumah v'Tara, all you would ever need is a regular generic bedika, never a need for bedikas schar and ustakin. That's the Shita Sarayva, that's the most liberal position we've shown him about the extent of needing Bidika Scharin Ustakin. The Ramban has what we'll call the middle position. And the Ramban is Chidushim Dathev and Aleph Dibra Maskel Mitoch. We referenced this Ramban earlier in the context of Hesek Tara being Motzi, a woman, Mi Cheskas Tuma, and therefore the absolute need for Hafsek Tara, even where there are grounds to be makel about the Dikos during the Shivna Kiv in the case of Makkah. So there the Ramban writes, Hey Man Aleph, Yumaskel Mitoch, Ulefiya Svara Yesh Lachriya, Shabedika Sahafsaka, Shehimala Osa Mitumma Latara, Umotzi Osa Mi Chazaka Lachazaka, Sricha Lios Bedika Mu'ula She'ein Achreha Alav Safek. So Bedika Sahafsek Tara, which is mostly a woman from Cheskas Tuma Tumeya to give her a Cheskas Tara. So in order for the Bedika to accomplish that status change from having a Cheskas Tuma to Cheskas Tara, that is to be the highest grade Bedika possible. That is to be a Bedika that is Ein Acharel a Suffolk, that there's no question about its effectiveness. And that's Bedika Sklar and Ustakin. Aba bedika sashiva, kevin shakvar paskal amida becheskasa bebedika koshu sagya. But the bedika shivinakim, again, the Ramban holds that once you do the hefsek tara, she's already removed from cheskas tuma. That was the machlokas chavastas and sivdei tara discussed in the context of bedikas yamisha. So the Ramban says once you're mosi her mecheskas tuma through the hefsek tara, now she's becheskas tara, and therefore all the bedikas shivinakim do not require Chorin Ustakin. After all, says Ramban, Nikar Adin, even if she only did a Bedika on day 7 after the Hefsek Tara, that would be sufficient. So the Ramban writes, to be Makel, as far as the Ravid that he doesn't think is correct, Hefsek Tara requires Bedika Chorin Ustakin, but that's all that we need Chorin Ustakin, and the Bedika Shivanakiyim, all you need is a less invasive bedika. Okay, that's Ramban of Chidushim. Hey, I'm an Aleph. Dibra Hamaschil Mitoch. If you look at the Ramban in his halachos, there's a slightly different formulation. Take a look at, if you have it in front of you, Perek Tes Os Kaf Beis. Perek Tes Os Kaf Beis. It's the last page of the Hilchos Nida Ramban. Tivdok b'yom avsaka mibod yom b'dika yafa b'dika skar nistaka in yafa yafa. So, at the day of a hefsek tara, a woman has to do a hefsek tara with a b'dika skar nistaka in. V'tach liv chaluka and change her clothing. V'chei b'dika yom risha mimei asfira. U'b'dika yom ashvi k'inyin zeh b'dika skar nistaka in. Ramban says, just like you need chor nistaka for hefsek tara, you also need chor nistaka for Vidikas Aleph Vizayim. Vidaila Vidikas Yom Risha Vishvi, Achmin Amufkar, who lived up with Chol Yom Vyom, Mizayin Yin Meyasphira. Lechachila, you have to do Vidika every day. So it's not clear in the Ramban, although there may be a Mashmos, that those days also should be Vidikas Chor Nisakin. Not necessarily, but minimally the Ramban is explicit that not only the Hefsek Tara, but B'dikas Al V'Zayin, which are the B'ikar and the B'dikas, have to be B'char Nistakin as well. So that is against what the Ramban writes in his Chidushim. In the Chidushim, we only require B'dikas Char Nistakin for the Hefsek Tara. Okay? And then, the more extreme position of Rishonim, which in fact is how we assume L'Alach, as we'll see in a few moments in Shulchan Aruch, is the position of the Rashba and many other Rishonim who follow. The Rashba, for starters, is in Chidushim here on Heyam and Aleph as well, Dibur Maskel Mitoch. Heyam and Aleph, Dibur Maskel Mitoch. The Rashba writes, in lo bad kaklal during shivin nikiyim arei becheskas tuma, that the hefsek tara itself is apparently not enough to be mostly a woman becheskas tumasa, because you need at least minimal bedikos during shivin nikiyim. That being said, the fact that the bedikos during shivin nikiyim on some level are li'ikuva, at least a minimum number, afatam atzricha bedika b'chol makom shemitama bo. So by the same token, you have to do a bedika in any area that could contribute to her being tameya. Meaning, to the extent that the woman is not out of the woods yet, she's not totally removed from the cheskas tuma, then you have to do bedika that's going to account for any possibility of compromising her status, any possibility that could contribute to her being tameya. D'maho ila zu b'chasi bedika. What good is it to only do a half bedika or a half baked bedika? Meaning, if you do something less than char nistakin, that's effectively an incomplete bedika. Emata chosh eshla afa pishav sika tara zil chosh b'char nistakin. And even if she does a half tara, we still have to be concerned about checking char nistakin during shivin nikiyim. I'm skipping a couple lines. The ode, the bedikas chorin hi shenik reis bedika. That the bedika schar nistakin is what's really called the bedika. After all, that's the contrast the Gemara Daf Yud-Beis between a bedika and a kinuach. Ava bedika acheres ein nikres bedika l'kinuach. So derive it at three categories: kinuach, simple bedika, and schar nistakin bedika. The Rashba assumes that it's all or nothing. There's kinuach and there's a bedika, but there's no middle ground. And a bedika means a bedika schar nistakin. Rabbi Moore, concerned his Piskei Das, quotes another 12 Rishonim that assume like the Rashba, and that's how the Mechaber Paskins here in Sifav. Take a look. Simon Kuf Tzadivav Sifav. Kol B'dikos Elu, Bein B'dikos Hefsek Tara, Bein B'dikos Kol HaShiva, Tzvichos Lios B'beg et Pishtan Lavan Yashan, O B'tzemer Gefen, O B'tzemer Lavan Naki V'rach. We'll get back to that in a few moments. That bedika has to penetrate into charin nistakin internally. It's not sufficient to just insert it a little bit. That would be a kinuach. No, it has to go all the way into charin nistakin. Then the Mechaber goes on to say that if it's physically difficult to do that, then minimally you have to do that Charon Nistak and Bedika for the Hefsek Tara and day 1 and day 7. Okay, so what is the need for this Bedikas Charon Nistak? So the Rashba pretty much said it. Right, the Rashba explained that since a woman is not totally removed from Recheska's Tumah, you have to ascertain that there's nothing that's going to perpetuate the Tumah status. In order to do that reliably, you have to check as far as you can go B'chor Nistakin. And the Chazon Ish formulates it along those lines, Simen Tzadik Gimel Seif Gimel. Simen Tzadik Gimel Seif Gimel. Hilkach lo mikri bedika elishit chapeis es kol habiruim hamevarim riyasa. That in order for a bedika to be justified, to justify calling something a bedika, it has to check whatever is possible to be a mevarer her status and whether there is any subsequent re'iya. Below tashir davar sheyachal haharas al re'iya b'li bedoka. So you can't leave any stone unturned, you can't leave any area unchecked that could shed light on whether there is a subsequent re'iya. So as part of that tara process of Shimon HaKiyam, you have to do a bedika in any area that could indicate that maybe there is a subsequent re'iyah to ascertain that in fact there was no further re'iyah. And that's what Charon Nistakin accomplishes, so that's how we assume, like the Rashba, Udi'imei, that bedikas Charon Nistakin is necessary not only for Hefsek Tara, but for all the bedikas of Shiva Nikia. Take a look at the Piskei Tshuva Sukkot and Tess. Piskei Tshuva quotes the note Bihuda Yoredeya Sof Simen Memvav, Yoredeya Kama Sof Simen Memvav. He summarizes the note Bihuda as saying that according to some, Me'ikar Adin, a lower grade Bedika may be sufficient. So that being said, where there's a need, you could be makel to only require bedika schar v'stakin for the hefsek tara, like the Ramban. Even though the Ramban himself in the psakim, in the halachos, did not say that the Ramban in the halachos requires a bedikas al v'zayin also to be v'char v'stakin. I don't think that the Nodeh Yehuda had access to the Halachos Nidah Ramban. I don't think it had been published yet. You can check if that's true. But anyway, he just refers to the Ramban in Chidusha, not the Ramban the way we have it in the Halachos. And that raises the question whether, under extenuating circumstances, you could rely on a Kinuach instead of Bedikas Charon V'Stakin. Okay, so the second element of bedikos that we just glossed over in Sifav and Shulchan Aruch is what the bedika should be performed with, what cloth or what material, what a bedika can be used. So the Gemara on Daf Yitzayin Amud Aleph mentioned certain things that Beis Munbaz Hamelech did, which were commendable. One of the things that Beis Munbaz did that was commendable was Ubotkin Mitoseyen Bimila Parhava. That they would do bedikos using Parhava. It's about 50 lines on the bottom of Tashma. B'shal beis munbas ha-melech ha-yu osin gimel dvarim maskirin osan l'shvach ha-yu misham she-mitoseim b'yom u-bokim mitoseim b'mila parhava v'no'agim toma v'tara b'shlakim. So what is this parhava? Rashi says, cotton. which we would call Kadim. So that's what Beis Munbas used to do their bedikos, Kadim, and that was commendable. And the Gemara quotes this as a raya to a memra of Shmuel that the ten lines at the bottom. Damer Shmuel ein misayli the Shmuel. Damer Shmuel ein boken es amita ella bipakulin o bitzamer naki verach. That you should only perform bedikos with pakulin or a clean wool that is also soft. So what is pakulin? Pakulin is cotton. And then the Gemara distinguishes between different grades of pishtan, of linen, that are acceptable for using it as an aid bedika. So what are the milos of these material, of cotton, of wool, of certain kinds of linen? Rashi writes, "Mitok shehu lavan nireis bo tipa kecharda." Mitok shehu lavan nireis bo tipa kecharda. Because it's white, you could tell whether there is a tipa stam. So that sounds like what's critical is more the color than the material. That if it's white, you'll be able to tell more easily whether there's any dam that comes up on the bedika. And that's what the focus has to be, to make sure that you could notice any dam that is caught on the bedika. Rabbi Morgenstern points out that you have a different formulation than some of the other Rishonim. He quotes the Chuvas Maharam, Maram Defus Prague Simon Tuf Reish Cafe. Defus Prague Simon Tuf Reish Cafe writes that what material is used for a bedika? Beged Pishtan Lavan Yashan. So a flax garment that is white and old. Shehu Rach, which is soft. Velo Chada Shehu Kasha, as opposed to a new one, which is hard. So it has to be, if it's older, that makes the material softer. Ve'ena, as opposed to if it's new and hard, ve'ena dam nidbak. If it's going to be new and thus hard, the blood is not going to adhere properly to the garment. So not that we're concerned about seeing the blood, but we're concerned about retaining the blood. That if it's going to slide off and not adhere, then you haven't accomplished what the bedikah is supposed to accomplish. Yeah.
Wouldn't part of the point of it adhering be so that you can see it after it's done? Isn't that basically saying the same thing?
No, because they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. Rashi's focusing on the color, so you could see that there's dam, and the Maram is, forget about the color, but if the material is going to, if it's going to slide off the material, then you won't be able to see it even if it's white. The focus isn't on the color, but on the absorbing nature of the material that the dam could adhere is not going to slide off before you see it. In the Mordechai, there are two girsos, whether you say the same thing as the Maram. Mordechai is in Tavshin Lamed Hei. Tavshin Lamed Hei. So there are two girsos, the same line, but in either Ein Adam Nidbak, that the dam won't adhere. The other girsa is Ein Hadam Nikar, that it won't be noticeable. Okay. And then the Meiri has another concern, material oriented. Meiri in Samech Chesem and Aleph says that the chisaron of new pishtan, the Gemara is distinguishing between old pishtan and new pishtan, the chisaron of new pishtan is that new pishtan is harsher, rougher, and it could potentially induce bleeding unnecessarily. It's going to be misarate, it may create a scratch or cause a scratch internally that's going to induce bleeding, which is not what we want to do. Okay, so that's at least three formulations to be shown. Either the emphasis on the white, being able to tell that there's dam, emphasis on the coarseness of the material, or the emphasis on whether the dam is going to be nidbak, to adhere properly or not. So the way it's formulated, as we just saw in Shulchan Aruch, again, Sifav, is Beged Pishtan Lavan Yashan, old as opposed to new linen garments, Obit Semer Gefen, or cotton wool, which is a coarse or raw cotton, Obit Semer Lavan, or straight white wool, Naki Virach, that's clean and soft. Rabbi Morgenstern points out that it's important, there's a distinction in halacha between an eid abadik and an eid she'ein abadik, an eid that was examined before you used it for bedikah to make sure there's nothing on it, and an eid that wasn't. But practically, Rabbi Morgenstern points out that it is prudent to, appropriate, and one should check the bedikah cloth before doing a bedikah to make sure that there's nothing on it. He just points out that even the commercially marketed bedika cloths with a hechsher on it aren't necessarily free from having some kind of red thread that may be on it that you should look for before you use it. Yeah.
When we were talking about Ksamim, we put up the Piskei Tshuva that had the shaila about if someone found a kesem that had a maharatar and a
and
some flax of
tame in
it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Was that a anal
badak
or was that
badak? Yes, even on an eid habadak, there's still times that you could attribute other things that appear to other sources.
Right.
But it's still prudent to make sure you do what you can not to get into such a questionable situation. So he just points out that there are these funny red threads that sometimes will appear in a bedika cloth, unclear from where. So prudent thing to do is to check ahead of time to avoid any unnecessary problems. And he says that he recommends that the spouse that has a more discerning eye should do that checking. Because if one spouse is less discerning about these things than the other, then the more discerning spouse may end up looking at the bedikah cloth after the bedikah and finding something that really was there before that the less discerning spouse didn't notice because that person was less discerning. Okay. He also writes here, I don't know enough about the Messias to comment on if this is an issue in America. My impression is not, because I imagine the Bedika cloth market in Israel is a lot wider than the one here. But he writes that even among the commercially marketed Bedika cloths, some of them aren't properly absorbent because there's such competition in the market and it's cheaper to use synthetic material which is less absorbent, so some such bedika cloths on the market may be trying to cut corners and use cheaper material that ends up being less effective. So you should check the effectiveness of the bedika cloth to see that it's properly absorbed. Okay, I'm not sure to what extent that is an issue in America. The post can point out, even though one of the examples in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, of material that could be used for bedika is Samar Geffen, which is raw cotton. And nowadays, that's not advisable to use raw cotton. In the Sefer Pua, they quote Rav Neubert as saying this, and I think this was B'Shem Rav Vosner, and Rabbi Morgenstern has this, that the raw cotton that we have now isn't so good because sometimes it tends to have red strands in it. Sometimes the strands of the raw cotton will end up loosening and getting stuck during the internal examination. And for all you know, there could be dam that adheres to it that you're not going to find, and it's not as easy to detect. Practically, I don't think people use raw cotton anyway.
How would you be allowed to use synthetic?
I'm sorry?
You're not allowed to use synthetic at all, correct?
Well, you're not allowed to. That's a function of its effectiveness. Meaning that there's no halacha mashu b'sinai to use tzemer gefen or any of these materials. The point is what is proper. What doesn't have the chesronos that Rishonim mentioned, which are the milas of these materials? What's going to properly adhere, properly absorb, not scratch, and give you a good read on whether there's done?
They weren't called that you need to use these.
This is no, right, there's no, this is just a pragmatic thing. So there's nothing fundamentally problematic with synthetic material. It's a question of whether that's absorbent, and his reporting is that synthetic materials seem to be less effectively absorbent. The standard bedikah cloth is a square. When Rabbi Burstein, who's the head of Machon Pua, was here a couple years ago, so he was marketing a relatively new type of bedikah cloth, which is fits over a finger, kind of like a glove, and the representation is that that's gentler internally than the standard bedikah cloth. Rabbi Morgenstern has a couple objections to this in a sefer. He says, number one, it goes from Avayashiv, that when you check a bedikah cloth, you have to check not only the outside, the outer side, the outer side where it goes in internally, but the inside also. And if you have this finger glove of bedikah cloth, then it's a lot harder to check the inside because you have to turn the whole thing inside out. Not impossible, but harder. And then he's worried about the place where the stitches are, that you could have dam that gets stuck between the stitches, and you wouldn't notice that. So in there's a kovetz called Hechol Hora'a from Moshe Brandsdorfer, who is the son of Remeir Brandsdorfer, who was a big posting of Bnei Brak, the author of the Knei Bosem that we've quoted before. So he apparently has a kolel, machon kolel in Bnei Brak. So in the first volume of their collection, Hey Cholera, he's asked about this new fangled bedikah cloth, the finger-fitting bedikah cloth, dated 2013, Zayin Adar. So he goes through the objections that people had. The number one, someone claimed that in the Goyim, when you bring a nega to a Kohen, the Kohen has to see the entire nega, the Vasachas. And here, if you have the thing that goes over the finger, you can't see the Vasachas because you could have something on this side, something on that side. To which he responds, very nice, that could be true, Hilchos Negoyim, but what does that tell you about our topic? There's no... We don't learn out the details of Bedikos Tara from the gun. Okay. And then he said, people are worried about the stitches. That's what Rabbi Morgenstern had in the Sefer. He said, in the models that he's seen, the stitches on their insides. That's not a concern. Even if you are worried that the dam's going to go on the stitches on the inside. Yeah.
When it comes to the tissue.
Yeah, we'll get to tissue in a few minutes. Okay. And then he says, people claim, Mishayim Rafal Yashiv, and his father held this way also, that you have to check the outside of the bedikah cloth and the inside of the bedikah cloth. And you can't do that easily here because you have to turn it inside out. He said, no. The reason that you have to check the outside and the inside of the bedikah cloth is because it's not always clear what's the outside and what's the inside. Because it all looks, both sides look the same. So you don't necessarily know when you're looking at it whether you're looking at the outside, whether you're looking at the inside, maybe something seeped through. So that's true in a regular bedikah cloth where the outside and the inside look all the same. But here, it's clear what the inside and the outside is. And if you don't see anything on the outside, there's no way that you'd have dam on the inside. So that's not a concern either. That's what I've been willing about this earlier. I hadn't seen this Hekel Arol yet. But his response to that concern of Rabbi Morgenstern, it was the same, that here there's no need to check the inside. And the fourth objection that someone raised to him is the Chasen Sofer, Chadash Asim in a Torah, that you're not allowed to have new innovations. He says, no, this isn't called the new innovation. There's no Halacha Moshe Mitzinai that a Bedikah cloth has to look like the way it traditionally looks. Whatever is easier to use is fine. So those are the four responses of Rav Moshe Bransdorfer to this new form of Bedikah cloth. Okay, I haven't seen it marketed in America yet, but seems to be on the market now. It's up. Okay. Now, Benji asked about tissues. So the post can say that it's not advisable to use tissues or toilet paper for bedikah because it's not effective. It's going to rip. It may rip inside, and then you may end up leaving a strand or something inside that, for you know, could have dominant that adheres to it. You would never know. It's hard to check. It's going to fall apart on the outside. Maybe there is dominant that you don't notice. It's not going to be sufficiently absorbent. So whether in a b'di'eved shasatchat situation that could be relied upon, so then that would have to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis, but generally speaking, not. There's if a person's stuck, and they're on the road, there's no bedikah cloth available, you have to do bedikah. So hopefully it's not a bedikah that's going to be ma'akev anyway, meaning if you miss a middle day bedikah, it's not going to be ma'akev anyway. So, but in that situation, so you could really use any garment of sufficient permanent or thickness, a piece off an undergarment or a piece off a shirt. As an ikar adin, as long as it's clean, there's no need for it to be lavan. That's a discussion. B'di'evit, if you use by the shulchan, seems to be machmir, pay shin vav in the biurim, that if you use a colored bedikah cloth, even if it's clean, then that's meaningless, even b'di'evit. In the Sefer Pua, they quote other poskim who are makel on that. I think Rabbi Willard assumes that me'ikar adin, if it's clean, that would be okay if you're in a shasatach situation. Okay, but always good to plan ahead to have more traditional bedikah cloths accessible to avoid such a problem. Rav Ovner writes, Chelet Beis Siman Kof, that if you use tissue that's white, then he thinks b'di'evit that could work, but again, you'd have to assess the quality of that tissue, the situation, on a case-by-case basis. Okay. We had referenced in the past, in the context of the Damaka, the status of a bedikah done at night. So the Rashba has a line on Kaf Hei Amud Beis in the Torah Sabayis HaKatzar. Kaf Hei Amud Beis in the Katzar. Or Hayom Yafa LeBedikah Shel Bayis. So daylight is good for bedikah. He references Beis Mumba, so one of the things that they did well was that they only did bedikos in the daytime. So Beis Yosef writes that this din, to only do bedikos in the daytime, that's a din l'chachila. Mashma, that a bedika at night, b'di'evit at least, would work. That's what the Ramah writes in Sif Dalid, Habedika Tiel Orat Yom, Vilal Oraner, Bidi Evan Mahani Afil Oraner, Bidi Evan, even by candlelight, a Bidika would work. Says the Sidre Taurus, if caught on your test, 1 second. We're conflating two issues. The issue of the Rashba, based Munbaz, That has to do with being able to assess the product of the bedika, being able to check whether there's donders. That's what we discussed, that daylight is much better to enable proper assessment than candlelight. The Gemara in Daf Kaf, Rabbi Lila Vitimei Bayom Vitir. And Beis Mudbah is in the context of Taras. So there, in order to ascertain that a woman is tahora for the purpose of not rendering taros tamei, so lichachila, those bedikos should be done in the daytime when you can get a proper read. Bidiyeved, if you looked at it at night, that would still be a valid assessment. But here there's another issue. Here we're talking about Shiva Nakiyah. The Shiva Nakiyah requires we're not choshish for the shalah to require a sphere of bepeh. But there's some kind of a sphira that the bedik accomplishes, and that arguably still has to be bayom. And that's the position of Tosfos and Daf Sad Mechtesim and Aleph that we referenced previously, that bedik at night doesn't work at all. So the Siddur Sarah says, how can you be makel against Tosfos to allow bedik at night, even bedieved? And we had referenced in the past the Chazon Ish, Siman Sadi Beis, who assumes that La Lacha Bedika night does work, and this is relevant, as we discussed, in the context of someone who has a Makkah and needs to use a nurse or a bodeket to do the day one Bedika. So under extenuating circumstances, that day one Bedika could be done at night. Because the push comes to shove, Chazon Ish assumes that a Bedika at night would be sufficient.
Let's say a woman wants to has to go on the road or something. Let's say it's a day seven or whatever.
Right.
And it's before alos.
So before alos is night.
Right.
So that she should make a stop on the way during the daytime.
Right. So that's just like what the Ramah says, like the Rashba.
Right. So under. I'm sorry.
We're saying b'shas chak.
No, b'shas chak, before alos and after tzeis is the same, but you wouldn't do that. Meaning in your situation, so you find a way of doing it in the day. If you did it at night, you didn't do it in the day, then you have to be done. Is that b'dieved situation? Can you be mekel?
When we talked about last year with the Dugal Merbaba and the opinions that say that doing the unofficial b'dika right before tefillah,
right,
would that be a similar thing that the
Ramah is
talking about?
No, the Ramah is talking about regular bedikas during Shiva Nakiyim. That chiddush of that Rabbi Karp developed, the Ramban, that there, aside from the din of Shiva Nakiyim, maybe there's a separate din of having a bedika kodem tefillah, that's a different cheshbon. But that wouldn't be subject to that. You could definitely do at night, but that's not part of, that's not within the rubric of Shiva Nakiyim. So our last subtopic within Bedikas Shiva Nakiyim, and the next time we're going to go on to talk about Paletas Shechles Era and the 4 or 5 day waiting period. The Ramah writes in Sif Yud, Yesh Omrim, Divishlosha Yomrim Rishonim Shal Yimei Asfira, Imatza Kesem, Ein Tolin Osol Lahakel, Kamosha Tolin Shark Samim. That if a woman finds a Kesem during the first 3 days of Shiva Nakiyah, you're not allowed to use a standard Taliyah. The Gimel Yamim Rishonim Srichem Lios Nakiyah Lagamri. Because there's a different standard for the first 3 days, and the regular halachas of Taliyos are suspended. Pardon the pun. Where does this come from? Parentheses say, Sefer Truma, Mordechai, Gos Maimini, Truma Sadesha. Writes the Sefer Truma, Simon Sadi Beis. Im Safra Gimel Yamim Nakiyim Matza Kesem Kasher. So if you're already past the first 3 days, you find the Kesem, great. Aval Yamim Rishonim Shel Sfira, but the first 3 days, Nira Debi'ina Nakiyim below Safik. So that is to be, those first 3 days have to be Nakiyim beyond reproach. Sheteda Shepasak Dam HaMakor. Women has to know that the Dam stopped. Aval imbo dekas asma ba'osamakam, umos adam, omar geshef shadam yosef in arechem, tmeya, vein litlos b'makam. if she checks herself and she finds dam, you can't be told b'maka. Aval im pikacha sadas shadam yosem yosemaka gandam shavshas b'dikatar. But if she it's a maka you do a shemotzi adam, then you can be told on that. Fine. But leaving aside dam maka, Sefer Tumah says that during the first 3 days you need nekiyim b'lo safek, and you don't have the right to invoke a standard tliya during those first 3 days. Okay, so what is the scope of this restriction of the Sefer Tumah not to invoke a tliya? Says the Tumah Sadeshen, Simon Reish Mem Tes. The question he's addressing is that in the Sefer Tumah, the Mordechai and the Ghost Maimios, that you can't have a tliya during the first 3 days. Does that even apply to a kesem pachos mikagris? Can you be tola on a macholas during the first 3 days? Says the Truma Sadeshen, Yeira, Didafka Amar Sefer Truma, De Eno Tola Bechabura, Obidam Tzipor. Vahainu kesem shehu kagris v'od. No. The Sefer Truma means that you can't be tola on the regular tliyos. The woman who's overeth b'shuk shel tabachim and finds dam. Or the woman who's osekes b'dam tzipor and finds dam. So there you can't be tola. But if it's less than a kagris v'od, that you still have the right to be tola b'dam acholas. Why? It says svar lomar, Didafka kesem gadol delo shtichikulei hai. So a bigger size kesem isn't so shtiach. The efshar lizar bo, and that could be avoided. Lo tlina b'shloshi yam harishon. Aval kesem pachos mikagris vade tlina leilo. And that you could always be told on. Din lo kein, ein shum ishe yichol letar. Right, like the lash of the Gemara in Haroa Kesem. That if you're going to prevent a woman from being makel on a kesem pachos mikagris v'od, then she'll never be Torah because her macholos is all over the place, and a woman's always going to see some pachos mikagris v'od even during her shiva nikiyah. So it can't be. That's what the intent of the Sefer Tumah was. It was only a standard tliya, not a tliya b'macholos. So even during the first 3 days, a woman could be tola b'macholos. Yossi. We'll get to it in a second. Good. And that's what the Ramah continues here, based on the Tumah Sadeshen. V'cheino again, v'dafka kasem sh'yosem mikagris v'od. Ava pachos mikagris v'od, tola b'kina afil gimel yom rishon, Tumah Sadeshen sham. Okay? So even though the Sefer Tumah says you can't be tola on the kasem during the first 3 days, doesn't apply to pachos mikagris v'od, that you could always be tola. Fine. So what is the real basis of this chumrah? You don't find this in Gemara anywhere. This chumrah of Rishonim, that during the first 3 days, you can't be tola on a standard tliyas kesem. Chasam Sofer has the following suggestion. Chelek beis yaradeya simen kuf samachay. Chelek beis simen kuf samachay. He writes that for many years, he was bothered by the Sefer Tumah. Where do these 3 days come from? And if you'll tell me that you need 3 days to be motzi micheskas toma, then it should be enough to have three bedikos. Day one morning, day one evening, day two morning, and then you have three bedikos. Where do 3 days come from? So he has the following suggestion, based on the comment of the Plessy. The Plessy said, well, maybe we're talking about where she saw 3 days of dam, and then you need three clean days in order to be oker those three days of dam. And the Plessy said, the Vehechetesi, that we're only talking about such a case of seeing 3 days of dam. It says the Chazon Sofer, no, maybe the following cheshbon. We had explained the Chumrah of Rebbe Zeira, that benos is over machmir afila rose tipas dam kechardo yoshua zaynikim. Why? Because we're concerned that a woman may see dam even on one day, but that dam is reflective of a buildup of 3 days. Maybe the dam is already yotze into the prosder earlier, and it already was yotze within 3 days, and the day that comes out is really the third day, since it was yotze from the rechem. So maybe she's really a zava gadola, even if she only saw for 1 day. It says the chazan sofer, so maybe that's the concern. The whole basis of Reb Zeira, Rovati Batanka Chardol, is every time a woman sees dam, we're concerned that she's a zavuk dol because she really saw for 3 days halachically, even if she didn't realize it. So maybe the 3 days of bedikos are necessary to be motzi mecheskas toma of 3 days of dam. That's the Chasam Sofer's suggestion. Either way, take a look at the Piskei Shuva in answer to Yossi's question, Stif Katan Yudbeis. I am the Shuva Skem the Shlomo, Simon Kaf, Shehela, De'im Nimsa Kesem Aldarish Eina Mekabel Toma, Af Toch Gimel Lo Chashina Lo. And then he goes on to say the same thing by Beged Savua, that these are exclusions, that as we explained, Zer Samim was never extended to a case of Savonim, the case of Einam Mekabel Tuma, a case of Pachas Mikigris Va'od. And therefore, the Trumas HaDeshem, the Sefer Truma, they're talking about the standard Taliyah, the Shokshal Tabachim Taliyah. So that you can't be told on during the first 3 days. But the exclusions from the Parsha of Ksamim, the three exclusions that exist even within the first 3 days. Okay. So there is, look at the Ramah Vaitir here. Then the Ramah says, V'huadin, imhayala maka begufa, v'yodas shemotzi adam, Tola ba'afilu b'yasa mikigris va'ot. The Ramah says, Maka hayadua shemotzi adam, you can be meiko on even during the first 3 days. Ela she'ei makilu m'shoshi yamin shonim litlos, b'maka she'ei yadua shemotzi adam, o b'shar dvarim shetulina b'am kesem, k'mivur le'el kubtzadi. So the Ramah says, Maka yadua shemotzi adam, you have the right to be told on during the first 3 days. The Shach here, in a very long Sifkata and Yud Gimel, argues, works to the Rishonim, he's machmir even a machmir yidu shemitzi adam, and the Dogma Rebbe says that the minig is to be makel against the shach, like the Ramah. That's what the Torah Hashlamim writes. Also, take a list of katin yigimo. He says the following eitzah. That where machmir is, we'll see that you only start shivin akiyam after 5 days lishimusha. So a woman can do the following: if a woman is concerned that she's going to have tsamim, that she would be told, let's see, she works in the shukshal tabachim, so she knows that very likely she's going to have some dam that's raised from the shukshal tabachim. If you can't be told it in the first 3 days, she's going to be stuck. Says the Torah Shlomo in the following Eitzah. Nir lidi yesh la takana b'derech zeh. D'haynu miyad shepasak d'ama b'yom alfa b'ezer yasa tivdok atzma heitev k'mo shederech livdok l'sfir sezayin akiyim. So we explain that in principle, you can do a hefsek tari even before day 5. You just can't start counting the shivin akiyim until after 5 days. So if she stops seeing dam on day 2, do a hefsek tara on day 2. And then, by the time she starts counting shivin akiyam, it's already 3 days past her hefsek tara. This chumrah of the Ramah is talking about the first 3 days after she stops seeing dam, after the hefsek tara. So if she did a hefsek tara on day 2, So the first 3 days are 3, 4, 5. She's only starting counting chivin that came on day 6. At that point, the chum of the Ramah won't apply anymore. So in a case, it won't work. In a case in which a woman is still seeing Dan past day 2 or day 3. But in such a situation, if a woman has a very short Me'iyah, then that's the Taurus of Shlomim's suggestion to get out of the problem. Yeah?
Where does he get that first 3 days after Hafsek, not first day of Shabbos?
So the Lashon of the Sefer Truma was... You're right. Lashon is Yamim Rishonim Shel Sfira. It sounds like he assumes that Sfira is Adaka. The point is that what's significant about the first 3 days? The first 3 days after you remove her from her Cheskas Toma, then that has to be super Nakia. But the removing from the Cheskas Toma takes place at the Hasek Tara. So there's nothing magical about the first 3 days of Shiva Nakiyim. It's the first 3 days after she's removed from Rakaskas Toma. That seems to be what I'm assuming. You're right. Lashon HaTshuva said that the Sefer Truma literally is Yom Rishon Shel Sfira. Okay, we'll stop here. And next time, we'll Mirsa Hashem start the Sugya of Paletas.
Yeah? I was not saying remove her from
Chazaka
Bintama.
I mean,
Chazaka Bintama. The Cheskas, the